This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey.
Chapter 21. As Tom lay on the beach, Katriana ran to his side and tried to haul him to his feet. She grasped his hands and pulled on them. Her fingers wrapped his and then let go. Still they remained connected, even though the boy was now on his own, floating skywards, looking down on the beach and then on the ruin that was yet again a ruin. There, a boy and a girl sat facing each other. They were struggling, the girl trying to wrench herself from the boy's grasp, her hair flailing her head and shoulders like black satin strips. It was suddenly dark again, the only light that from a hissing sun by the couple's side. Tom floated down to take a closer look, and as he did, he heard music, felt the soft embrace of his mother's arms, saw the gentle sway of a stone heart lull him awake. He opened his little boy eyes and felt the comfort of his bed, then opened them again and saw Katriana's fear as she jumped to her feet and looked around her, her hands at last free, her feet backing away from something she couldn't see. Tom stepped towards her and took her shoulders. "He's gone, Katriana, he's gone." She stared bug-eyed at him and then at his hands. Tom was a silhouette against the lamp at his back, his outline a bright series of ruffled curves, his face a featureless black shadow. Katriana continued to back away.
"Did you see them?"
Tom asked. Katriana nodded her head.
"Who are they?"
She looked around the ruin, their isolation suddenly absolute beyond the false security of their bubble of light. They were at the wall, overlooking Cregan now. Katriana backed as far as she could go and Tom's hands now gentle on her arms. She was shaking and Tom drew himself closer to hug the fear from her body. But holding her in his arms did more than that. The wool under his fingers was at once textured and soft, the hair at his cheek cool and fragrant, her breath on his neck hot. Katriana lifted her head and looked at Tom, her shaking body calmed to the rhythm of slow and deep breathing. But beyond the girl's eyes, a gaze that should have been impossible to break, the light surrounding them flickered curiously and Tom stiffened. Dawn suddenly washed the coast, but there was no rising sun on the horizon. He squinted at the sky and there it was, faint at first, but soon glowing bright, drowning the lamp and warming his face with a beautiful and unscheduled day. Below them, Cregan Cottage dimmed to a haze and then to nothing. The small sailboat was there again, keeled over to its side, its cargo gone. Behind Tom, further up the hill, a man screamed in anger.
"You'll do as I say!"
Tom whipped around, releasing his grip on Katriana. The stone cottage was rebuilt, but somehow he could see beyond, as though it was constructed of glass, to the small clump of rocks on the other side. Somewhere in another world, Katriana called to him, but she was too faint to register. The boy crossed the ruin, walking through vapour walls as he did. Standing at the rocks, the man dragged Tom's mother to a black patch that could have been a hole formed by adjacent boulders not quite touching. Tess, as if from nowhere, flew at the man and Tom's heart leapt as he saw him fall, his grip on the woman's arm lost. But despite his awkward movements, the attacker was on his feet in a blur. An object, short and thin like an extended aerial, appeared in the man's hands. He raised it high and brought it down hard and fast on the girl's face. Before it connected, in that split second of air an inch from her skin, an arc of electricity leapt the gap and ran around Tessa's head, crowning her in a kaleidoscope of shimmering silver barbs. She screamed and Tom lurched forward, ignoring Katriana's call from another dream. As he reached them, Tom's mother grabbed the rod and yelled in pain as her hand twitched and sparked, the smell of roast meat sickening the air between them.
"Leave her alone!" Tom yelled,
but the man ignored him. Tess lay on the ground unconscious, his mother's body writhing in agony as her hands sizzled and fumed. Tom tried to run towards him, but his feet wouldn't move. He was frightened of the man, of course, but that had nothing to do with his helplessness. At that moment, any fear he had was for his mother and for Tess. He knew with absolute certainty that if he could get close enough, he would somehow find the strength to overcome the beast and stop him hurting his family, his soul. And then his mother's attacker leaned over her, grabbed her dress at the front, scrunching the fabric in the pendant. He pushed his face to hers.
"Do not question me, woman. Ever."
He no longer wore his scarf, and closer now, Tom could see that he was brutally disfigured. But the boy felt no pity, unmoved by his hideous look. More terrible still was the hatred in his eyes as he dragged the woman into the hole, her hands slipping from his wrists and falling limp by her sides. The man shifted his grip, and Tom saw the string around his mother's neck tighten like a garrote, and then pop. It and the pendant slipping to the ground, pummeled by stamping boots as first his mother and then Tessa were dragged and disappeared into the hole. Chapter 22. Tom stood in the darkness for the 2 seconds it took for him to readjust to his new reality. He was back in the ruin, Katriana shaking him in small bursts and then letting him go as though scared of catching the terror their union had brought to her mind.
"Tom, come away from here!"
But for Tom, the taste of burnt flesh lingered in his nostrils, his mother's helplessness, the white hot crown searing Tessie's head, vivid images he could not shake. He ran for the rocks, scrambling blindly beyond the light of the lamp, bashing a knee on a crumpled wall, falling and stumbling and running until he reached a place that only seconds before had staged his worst nightmare.
"Tom, there's no one there!"
the girl yelled. But when he continued to ignore her, she grasped the lamp and picked her way up the hill to join him. As the light caught up with him, Tom squatted on his knees. Without a word, he reached back and Katriana placed a handle in his grasp. He swung it forward and pushed the hissing cylinder inside the tiny cave. But if Tom had expected a vast cavern, somewhere for the man to have disappeared to, he was disappointed. The feeling of certainty was so strong that Tom was bemused by the dank, shallow hollow that stretched no more than the length of a grave from dark entrance to cold wall.
"I saw him. He was here."
"Who, Tom?"
But Katriana had seen too. The man in the boat. She knew by the fear in the boy's eyes, the determination in his voice, that he was talking about the creature with a covered face and cruel stare. She was tempted to tell him that it was a dream, but how could she? She had conjured a demon during the seance after all. Tom scrabbled in the darkest corners with his fingers. He poked and scratched and tore at lumps of earth, ripping his nails and blooding his skin. At last, when even Tom's fractured mind understood he was getting nowhere, he sat back on his heels and Katriana saw by the searing white of the lamp that his face was ravaged by whatever he had witnessed in this bleak spot. His face was covered in dirt now, twin lines of darkness staining his skin on either side of his nose where the flying dirt had stuck. He had the look of a ghostly girl streaked in mascara. Seeing that he was on the verge of defeat, Catriona hovered a careful hand onto Tom's arm. She touched him lightly at first and then took a large gulp of night air, wrapped her arms around his shoulders and drew him up to her. Together, silent, they guided each other back to the cottage. Catriona's head spun with confusion over what had just happened. To her mind, she had just unleashed a terrible nightmare on the boy. She tried to help him, but instead had torn him apart with a hellish vision of a past he confused with his own. But this wasn't how Tom saw things. Yes, he caught a glimpse of events seared into the walls of the ruin, but it was this and more. The feelings he had were too strong to be a vision and only that. The ruin was a conduit, the events part of who he was. The fire was almost dead, and Catriona used some of the precious dry stuff to kindle the wet. As Tom sat in a blank stare on the armchair, she left him to check on her father. When she returned, Tom was on his feet, rummaging the room with determination. He no longer looked like a wild animal cornered by death, but a hunter, in control, and certain of his task.
"What are you looking for, Tom?"
"I don't know."
And then he looked up suddenly. "Is there a tool shed?"
"Under the stairs," she said.
"What?"
But Tom was already out the room and flinging open the door to the cupboard. He then squeezed past Catriona and took the lamp from the room they'd just left and thrust it into the darkness. A treasure chest of axes and brooms and shears jumped at him and an uncalled grin grew in his mouth.
"I know you think I'm crazy," he said as he rummaged its contents, "but I'm not."
He pulled out a long-handled spade, turned and stared at her with calm determination.
"You saw it, Catriona, I know you did."
I imagined something," she said, obviously unconvinced by her own words. Tom looked at the lamp in his hands.
"Do you have a torch?"
he asked. She disappeared then as he continued to search for equipment and inspiration. He settled for the spade, a small garden fork and a long knife well beyond its useful life of hacking through jungles or Scottish bracken. Catriona returned with an elastic banded head torch.
"Thanks," he said.
"I don't know how long the battery will last." Tom switched it on and a satisfying beam spread a cone of light onto the floor. As Tom hoisted the spade over his shoulders, the light on his head and the blade and fork in his right hand, Catriona suddenly appeared conflicted. She looked to the outside door and then back to her father's. As if he'd been waiting for this cue, the man moaned gently and Catriona took an automatic step to his room, cracked the door and peeked in.
"I should really..."
But Tom was already moving. "He needs you, Catriona. Stay with him." And then he left.
DreamWorks.com.